I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. We are continuing our new series called The Exodus Story as we explore how God delivered Israel, the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, from their bondage and slavery in Egypt and led them to freedom. And this is a powerful story that shaped the Jewish faith, and it shapes our faith in Jesus, so that as disciples of Jesus, it continues to impact us and shape our faith today. So as we prepare to read from Exodus chapter 2, I also want to invite you and let you know that there is a daily reading bookmark that is available to you. If you were here the past couple weeks, you may have gotten one of these in the bulletin, but if you didn't get one, if you weren't here, then there are some left on the at the Welcome Center in the Narthex. You are welcome to pick one up on your way out, and there are daily readings that will take you along with us as we go through Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. Now, let us follow along together here in Exodus chapter 2, starting with verse 13. When Moses went out the next day, he saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. And Moses said to the one who had started the fight, "Why are you abusing your fellow Hebrew?" And he replied, "Who made you a boss or judge over us? Are you planning to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid when he realized they obviously know what I did. And when Pharaoh heard about it, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses ran away from Pharaoh and settled down in the land of Midian. And one day while Moses was sitting by a well, and now there was a Midianite priest who had seven daughters. And the daughters came to draw water and fill the troughs so that their father's sheep, flock, could drink. But some shepherds came along and rudely chased them away. Moses got up, rescued the women, and gave their flock water to drink. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we meditate on these passages today, rescue us from injustice and help us to partner with you to rescue others. In Jesus' name, amen. The sun was setting as we arrived in Giza, and we made our way to the place just west of the Great Pyramids and the Great Sphinx, and we took our seats and watched and listened to the laser light show over the next hour or so that was cast upon those great pyramid tombs, these wonders of the world, these monuments that were some 4,000 years old, that were constructed a millennia before Moses was born in Egypt. And from the ancient Sphinx to these great pyramids to the estuary of the Nile River, the land of Pharaoh was one of the first ancient civilized world superpowers. And it was in those days when Israel grew under Egypt's shelter. And Pharaoh became concerned because the Hebrews had grown so much, he was afraid they were becoming too great. And so he took the Hebrews, the people of Israel, he took them captive and held them in bondage as his slaves. Yet it seemed that the more he oppressed them, that the more they grew. And when they continued to grow and grow, he wanted to do something about it. So he ordered the midwives to kill the males as they were born. Yet the midwives cunningly subverted Pharaoh, outsmarting him by claiming that the Hebrew women, oh, they're just built different. They had their babies so fast that the babies were already born by the time the midwives arrived. But Pharaoh responded to this by ordering all newborn baby boys to be thrown into the Nile and drowned. Yet there was one mother who had and held her beautiful baby boy in secret. And she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him or keep him secret, she built a basket and covered it in tar to protect it from water and placed her baby in the basket and then set the basket in the water along the Nile River. And from not too far away, that baby boy's sister watched and waited. And after a while, Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to bathe. And when she arrives, what does she find? But this basket with the baby inside. And she's filled with compassion for this child. And then the baby's sister arrives and approaches Pharaoh Pharaoh's daughter and asks her if she wanted to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child. Pharaoh's daughter says yes. And so the baby's sister goes and gets the baby's mother. And his mother is able to nurse him until he's old enough to be weaned. And as the child is weaned, Pharaoh's daughter adopts him as her own child. And as her son, she names him Moses, which literally means lifted up out of the water. And Moses grows up in the palace as a prince in Egypt. And as he grows to become an adult, he realizes one day that he is not like the other Egyptians. No, he is actually a Hebrew. And so one day he decides to go out to check on his people. And while he's out there, he sees an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrew slaves. Now the word used in Scripture for beating is makeh, which literally means to strike. And Moses is filled with anger. And thinking he is acting in secret, Moses responds in kind. With revenge, he strikes the Egyptian, killing him. But what Moses thinks he has done in secret, word quickly spreads. And he's not seen by his fellow Hebrews as one of them. No, he's still seen as one of the Egyptians. And then when Pharaoh finds out, Moses flees for his own life. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you saw something that wasn't right? You saw something that was wrong, and you wanted to do the right thing, yet you only made it worse? I think a lot of us have been in positions like that. This was Moses. He grew up in the house of Pharaoh. He grew up with a life of privilege and education and influence. He received the best food and the training and opportunities a person could have. He grew up as royalty. Yet even growing up in the palace, he could not escape the consequences of his actions. And even though he acted for the right reason, his actions themselves were wrong and unjust. And so Moses flees Egypt, and he finds himself in the land of Midian. And now he's become a stranger in a strange land, and he's all alone where no one knows him. Yet he still has this sense for justice, for doing what's right. And one day while he's sitting at the well, he encounters some women who were shepherding their father's flock. Some other shepherds, some men come along and they harassed the women and chased them away as they had always done. But this time, Moses stood up for the women. The scriptures say that Moses rescued or defended them. The word for rescue or defended is yossi, which is also the same word that when we cry out in the Psalms and throughout the Old Testament, when we cry out to God and God rescues us, or God saves us. Now, many of you are going to be familiar with this, but if you've seen Cecil B. DeMille's and Charlton Heston's The Ten Commandments, we remember that? Yeah. And if you may remember this scene, this depicts Moses rising up out of the bushes and fighting off the shepherds with his staff. And it's just this over the top dramatic choreography where Moses is knocking the shepherds down and they're rolling and falling everywhere and finally they're running off. And we don't know if that's how it really happened. That sounds exciting. And maybe Moses did use his royal training. Or maybe all it required was his presence or his demeanor. Or maybe it could have been God's prevenient presence with him. But whatever it was, this time, his motive was not revenge. His motive was justice. He stood up for what was right. And Moses is rewarded for his valor by the girl's father. He marries one named Zipporah, and they have children and raise their children together as they make a new home with their family and their lives there in Midian until Pharaoh dies. Yet God has not forgotten him, nor has God forgotten the Israelites still in bondage and captivity. And God hears their cries. God sees their oppression and injustice. And God acts, setting things in motion to rescue God's people. Now, as we think about this, things could have gone a whole lot better for Moses. But they also could have gone a whole lot worse. When Moses fought the Egyptian, he struck the Egyptian out of wrath and out of anger. Maybe he didn't have malice in his heart. Maybe he was trying to do the right thing by defending his kinsmen. Yet the result was someone's death. Scripture describes Moses as being sneaky about this, hiding his actions and even hiding the body. And the Old Testament doesn't always condemn killing people. I mean, it's full of war and bloodshed and violence. Yet Moses murdered the Egyptian. However, with the women at the well, the situation was different. There, he simply showed up and he defended Zipporah and her sisters. And there's a difference in how he interacted. In one situation, he made the judgment and he condemned and he sentenced the man to death. And in so doing, he condemned himself. But in the other, he saved another. And in so doing, perhaps he saved himself. And where he once ran from his problems, later he has to face them. And he has to face them over and over again and again. Yet each time he does, he gets better at facing them. Sometimes we have things, we have something that blows up in our face. And a lot of times we think it's easier to run from our problems than it is to face them. But even when we run, even when we try to run away, God doesn't run from us. Even when we mess up, God doesn't abandon us. God is still right there with us. And God is working and helping us make a way. And with God, we can face our problems in a better way. With God, we can thrive under pressure. With God, we don't have to fight every battle ourselves. And we don't have to treat others as they have treated us. We don't have to strike back or lash out of anger or revenge. Instead, we can simply show up and be present and let God do God's thing. After all, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Those things are not our enemy. Our fight isn't with other people. Now, our fight are with the forces of evil in the world. And the rest of that battle, that's the Lord's battle. And we can be present because we can represent God's light and God's justice and God's goodness and kindness. And we can be humble. And then we can trust God that somehow it will work out. Now, that doesn't mean we get to sit on our hands. It doesn't mean we get to rest on our laurels. No, we still have to be wise and cunning. We still have to do the necessary work. Sometimes we have to be like the midwives who outsmarted Pharaoh. Sometimes we have to be like the mother of Moses who defied Pharaoh and found another way. And sometimes we're like the daughter of Pharaoh. We're the one with the power. And we must have compassion on those who are treated unjustly. Now, Moses' actions foreshadow God's actions. Moses sees Israel's oppression and injustice and moves him to strike the Egyptian. He sees the injustice with the women at the well, and it moves him to save them. So when we see injustice, we let God do the striking, and then we partner with God to help do the saving. Now, God is not ignorant, and God is not blind. God sees the injustice. God sees the injustice in the world. God sees the injustice in your life, and God moves. You may not see God moving, but God is at work. For example, God saw the grip that sin had on your life when he sent Jesus for you. And then we see a similar story in the Gospel of Matthew, as the gospel echoes this perspective in its rendition of Jesus' birth story. As Pharaoh murdered their baby boys to maintain his power, we read that Herod murdered baby boys to retain his power. We see that Moses flees Egypt to live in Midian, where he finds the wilderness more hospitable than home. And then we see that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus echoing the family of Jacob, where they flee to live in Egypt and find the land of Egypt more hospitable than their home. We see that Moses remains in Midian until Pharaoh dies, while Mary, Joseph, and Jesus remain in Egypt until Herod dies. And when the time is right, Moses returns to Egypt. And when the time was right, Jesus returned to Jerusalem. And when the time is right, Jesus will return and bring heaven to earth and us home with him. But until then, when we find ourselves running from or avoiding our sad circumstances and our bad decisions, it's not the end of our story. It's not the end of your story. We can know that God moves in our life and rescues us, that God leads us, that God leads me and leads you to find the community and relationships that we need to make ourselves better, to make yourself better. And friends, that's what we're doing here. That's the point of the church, that we turn to Jesus and trust him, that we accept his grace, and we find our greater purpose for ourselves within the church community, to lift one another up and to share God's grace. And if we seem discouraged, know that we can look at the life of Moses and we can find that he is incredibly human. He's not superhuman. What he had was not unobtainium. Now, Moses was just like you and me. He has his ups and downs, frustrations and failures, and he continues to experience God's grace. And even though he ran at first, he doesn't give up. Just as he rescues and saves the women at the well, we have people who need our help. And we are the reminder for people that God has not forgotten them. So until Jesus returns, we will continue to live in a world where we see injustice. And we must face these moments with faith. And when we have an opportunity or the resources to do something about it, we must not sit idly by. We have Jesus who helps us. We have a God who saves us. And we have something greater than ourselves that we can share with the world, a world that desperately needs more of Jesus. It doesn't need more of our politicians or our political parties. It needs more Jesus. And it needs more of us to live like Jesus. So when the world is disillusioned and cynical, it's easy to give up thinking that no good can come from our situation. Yet we have an opportunity to foreshadow God's work in the world. We have an opportunity to foreshadow the work of God in our lives and in creation and in our community. And we have an opportunity to resist evil in whatever forms it presents itself. And we have an opportunity to do no harm, to do good, and to help people fall in love with God. So let's not run from this opportunity to make life better and to help others be better at life through Jesus Christ. Amen?